Terry Steller from MMA UK and in the Girls Corner, and I am here speaking with Hyder. Emil, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic and super excited to be talking to you about your upcoming fight for Bellator. Huge congratulations. Big fight. You fought for them before. Mm-hmm. I've looked up your record. I was looking into you. What does this mean to you to be fighting for Bellator practically in your backyard?
It means the world because at the SAP Center, the Shark Tank, growing up, I used to watch all my favorite athletes and musicians and concerts there. And so it's a dream come true to be center stage and be the one that everyone can see or, like, you know, like, entertain everyone like a show.
Now, you've fought, this is your second fight for Bellator.
Yeah.
You fought twice. You've had wins both of your time. Actually, mm-hmm. All your pro wins have come in the first or second round, correct?
Yes.
All dominant performances. Mm-hmm. I was watching them. Tell us a little bit about how you got into fighting, because I've tried to look into you, and mm-hmm. there's not a lot of information out there about mm-hmm. you. Talk to us about that a little bit.
So my story started, as you can tell, my name is Hyder Amiam. I'm from this island in the Philippines called Cebu. It's like of the middle of the Philippine archipelago. It's a small island in the middle. My mom's actually Filipino. My dad's Indian Turkish and a little like English Romanian, something like that. And so growing up there, I was like the only kid who spoke English. I grew up in a dirt road, I live in the very last house of a dirt road, and there's like stilt huts and stuff, so it's third world, you know? So growing up there, I really stood out because I was the only like mixed race kid, you know? And I was also a lot fairer than everyone else, you know? So I got beat up a lot. I also lived in a house, so life was kind of difficult a little bit. A few times I got challenged a lot, and I always tell this story. One day, like all the kids, there's all these kids that threw a bunch of rocks at me, and I came back home, and I had a bunch of cuts and bruises. And my dad's asked me, you know, what happened to you? You know, I'm like, all these kids threw rocks at me, so I ran away. And you know, he told me, he's like, never run away again, you know. And he taught me how to make a fist. And he's like, if you run away, you're a coward. You know, I'm like, I don't even know what coward means. I just knew the first word, cow. I'm like, I don't want to be that, you know. I don't know what that means, but I don't want to be that, you know. And so ever since, I never ran away. And I kind of like, it's crazy how that stuck with me for so long. And I never really understood why until I started discovering, you know, like trying to navigate like where this all came from, you know, because I've been asked that same story. But that memory for some reason always stood out to me. And ever since then, so anyway, because I didn't back out, I always got in a lot of fights, you know, because whether I would get beat up or I'd win, I would definitely not back down, you know. And then I came here to the States, and when I was like six, and I grew up, and my dad passed a while ago, and so just my two sisters and my mom, so I had to take care of them, you know. Always wanted to make sure, you know, that they were always okay and stuff like that, and I deal with a lot of people in the neighborhood, and then some of my friends got me into like martial arts, kickboxing when I was 10, 11. But at the time, I did was school and art. My mom raised me to be an intellectual, you know. And if it wasn't for my friends getting me into kickboxing, and then in high school, they got me into playing football and wrestling, you know. I never watched football. I never wrestled, but everyone said you need to join the football team in wrestling, and so I did, and I really fell in love with sports and the activity, camaraderie, with the guys. And had my first fight when I was 17, and it's still on YouTube. And I fought like a 24-year-old, and it all just went from there.
I was going to say, you only have two amateur fights, which is pretty incredible. So that speaks to your level of talent and athleticism, because most people have, you know, a lot. But that also speaks to the fact that you're very good at what you do. You wouldn't have a pro fight so soon if you weren't. What do you think of that? What do you think of having such a short, I would say, amateur career, jumping into the pros and having such a dominant career? Because you've, I mean, in your three fights, you dominated.
Thank you. You know, it's crazy. It was just hard for me to get these amateur fights, because a lot of people wouldn't accept a fight with me or pull out, you know, for whatever reason. The promotion, a lot of amateur promotions also like go defunct or just, you know, like have canceled bouts, all kinds of reasons, you know. So I was like, it all occurred to me, I'm like, I'm not putting myself through another training camp unless I'm getting paid for it. I made the decision to go pro because I did five training camps in 1 year and only one of them went through. And I was like, I can't go through this anymore. This is too much. And so I made the great leap of faith and went pro. And I thought I would get set up with a pretty, you know, like easy pro fight because I only had two amateur fights. And the guy ended up being switched out, and I got even harder opponent my first fight. And the guy had six more fights than me. I already had two pro fights. And I beat him pretty decisively. And then from there, and it was a very dominant performance. And then from there, I managed to get on Bellator and win my first fight on Bellator. And then again, my last outing. So it's actually a dream come true how quickly, it's almost surreal how quickly that all happened.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's also something to be said for being thrown a really tough opponent in your first pro fight, because you hear about people getting not so tough opponents, and you know, it doesn't do anything for your career to be handed a camp. It does nothing for anybody. How are you going to test yourself if you're getting handed an easy opponent? So for me, I feel like that was arguably the best thing for you.
I think I know a lot of people who have been set up a lot, and then all of a sudden they have to fight a real fighter, a real warrior, you know. I feel like, because my amateurs, you know, none of my amateurs, I finished those guys. Those two fights, they both went to a decision. One of them, I lost a split decision, which taught me the most I've ever. And I'm glad I lost as an amateur then, because it taught me a lot about composure, about how my mind has to be, having a ritual when I fight, all kinds of things. And I also had to overcome losing and coming back, you know. Most people after their first MMA fight, I'd say 90% of people like quit, especially if they lose. And I didn't want to be like that, so I made a goal to myself to come back, make sure I, you know, win, draw, lose, that I continue this path. I set myself 3 years. I have to, you know, like no matter what, just keep it going, you know. And I'm glad I'm here now. I'm fighting a guy who's also been winning on Bellator. He's two wins, one draw on Bellator. I think that's all his fights have been on Bellator. And I knew I was going to fight him eventually because we're same weight class. He's in the region, and he's also been winning. So pretty stoked about this matchup.
I think it's going to be a fantastic fight for both of you. And I just want to know, how did you get the nickname Hurricane, or the Hurricane?
It's, I always tell people, it's not my style, it's my life, you know, because right. My life has been pretty wild. Everyone personally who knows me knows that I had like a pretty wild life, I guess, you know, and just to say the least, you know, there's people with a lot of crazier lives, but everyone knows my life. I had to overcome a lot, let's put it that way. And my fighting style also, I come in there, you know, like people say I have like no fear, like I'm fearless, and I come in and I attack and I fight orthodox, southpaw, kicks, punches, elbows, knees. I come, you know, like a storm, like a hurricane. And my buddy Brandon's like, no, dude, you know what nickname is? My buddy Brandon, who I train with, Brandon Bencourt, he's actually the one who came up with the nickname, because like, he's like, dude, you are a hurricane. That is so you. And everyone's like, yeah, hurricane. That is so you. That is like you as a person, you as a style, you know? So that's pretty much how they came out.
I like that. Tell us a little bit about your where you train. You are at El Nino Training Center. Mm-hmm. Yes. Who do you train with over there? I know you guys got some beasts.
What was that last part?
I said, I know you got some beasts over there.
Yeah, there's some scary individuals. So the gym is owned by Gilbert Melendez. That's like my mentor, coach. He's just great. And, you know, he has a show, Unlocking the Victory. As you can see that he has a great mind for MMA, and it's amazing to learn from him. There's a lot of other training partners. There also a lot of people affiliated with our team, the Scrap Pack, you know, like Nate Diaz, all those guys, Crone Gracie, they come by the gym. We also associated with NorCal Fighting Alliance over in Santa Rosa. I come down to Stockton, go train with those guys. You know, it's a big group, and there's a lot of bodies. There's all bunch of pro fighters, all kinds of styles. Everyone seems to have their own superpower. So you just get really good. Yeah, you know, just from training and having to just go through the rigors of training and having to just keep up with these guys has really evolved me, not only as a person but as a fighter as well.
Speaking of, how has this training camp been going for you?
It's been going great, actually, because I just came off another fight camp in which my last opponent pulled out a week before. So I've been on, like, I feel like 3 back-to-back training camps. Took only maybe a week or two off. Managed to stay injury-free, you know, knock on wood. And that's the battle right there, is training hard but not being injured, you know, and trying to get to that fight 100%. Our first Bellator fight, I had a rib injury and I only sparred twice. It was very hard just to train because, you know, it's a rib injury. So I wanted to make sure that I stayed in shape after, even all out of season. Stay in shape, keep working so that when I do go into fight camp, I just step it up more and more and more. So right now I'm feeling very confident. I feel ready. And yeah.
So now you have, you're a couple weeks out from the fight. I'd say what, like four and a half weeks?
Yeah, 4.5, yeah.
Yep. What does the next couple weeks look for you stepping into, you know, like say 2 weeks out, you know, before you start weight cutting and everything like that? What does that look like for you? Because, you know, everybody does it a little differently and, you know, people don't know what really goes into that part of fight camp.
You know, for me, everything for the most part stays somewhat consistent. I do a lot of conditioning, grappling. You know, MMA, you're working Muay Thai, kickboxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu. That I'm always working. I train twice a day, sometimes 3 times a day. Every week, I go to another gym or someone comes to my gym and where I spar someone that it almost gets me just as nervous as my fight. The person I'm sparring is a tough SOB, you know? So every week I have like a battle and I have, you know, almost like a boss battle every week until I get to my 1 week out. I don't spar. I train, you know, I just recover, get my weight down week of, and then, you know, finally get that last, it feels like a video game, almost like final boss fight, you know? So that's kind of like my journey, like in fight camp.
Now you, I saw that you had written, and let me, I just want to get this correct before I mess it up. Are you starting out the undercard or are you the main fight on the undercard? Then you said you're starting out at the tournament.
No, I'm on the prelims.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm on the prelims. Last fight I was on the prelims and the zone. Before the main card. So I'm pretty sure that's what it is right now.
Okay. Now, a lot of people cut weight so differently.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you be able to do it, to be able to get in there healthy and at your best capacity that you can win that fight?
You know what? Since I've been in this back-to-back training camps, my weight has actually not fluctuated very much. I also sweat like a lot, so weight cutting is not the, and I also don't cut a lot of weight, so I don't, you know, I don't go through a giant process like many people do. I've cut a lot of weight that doesn't work for me, you know. I need a little bit. I can't cut so much weight or else I can't function as good. I tried going down to bantam and I couldn't do it. I felt mentally foggy. I couldn't function as quickly. I didn't feel as strong. So I gained a little bit of muscle. So I'm a little bit bigger for 45, but I'm still not a very big 45er. So my weight cuts aren't vicious. So yeah.
Well, that's gotta be a big part of it, to be able to feel good when you get in there. What do you do for your nutrition factor? A lot of people do meal preps. Mm-hmm. What do you do? What kind of preparation do you do for that?
I just keep it pretty clean. My week, because not only do I train, I still have to work a little bit, you know? So, and my week, and I also take some classes. So my week is very busy. So I usually, if I am on a strict diet, I usually get very drained. I usually get sick if I'm on a very strict diet. So I usually just go, my thing I do is I go to Trader Joe's a lot. Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, I go there. It's healthy. I don't eat anything cold, but I only eat small meals, you know? And that's what works for me. So I have calories for training. But about a week out, that's when I start to diet a little bit. So the weight cut isn't so bad.
That, it's smart, you know, and a lot, I know a lot of people are starting to, kind of walk around close to their fight weight and, mm-hmm. Which is also another, you know, fantastic thing to do. You train at a great place. You said you cross train at a lot of places.
Yes.
Have you been cross training this fight camp?
Yes. I usually train I think I'm going to make some trips down to Stockton. I go to NorCal and Santa Rosa. I also go to boxing gyms like HitFit, Solis Boxing and South San Francisco, Dos Santos, Jiu-Jitsu in Danville. So, and so a lot of those guys come here too and cross train with us. So, I'm very fortunate for that. I got a lot of bodies to work with.
So you do a ton of training, and you have to be a professional mm-hmm. fighter. What do you do outside of fighting?
Oh, man. You know what? The last year or so, I made a really big sacrifice, and this is pretty much mostly what I do. I do finish classes for construction management also. I always take a class or two every year, just so I'm always exercising my brain and always working towards something, you know, aside, you know, from the physical realm of fighting. So that's, you know, I work on my degree. I do that and then, you know, do what normal people do, hang out and go to the beach or, you know, barbecue and stuff.
Well, I wanted to thank you for taking, I don't know, about 20 minutes out of your day to speak to me about your upcoming fight. September 7th at the Staples Center. What can everybody expect out of you fight night?
Well, if you can see from all my fights that it's fireworks. Every time I come, I bring it. Every one of my fights, I bring it. And not only is it like a hurricane of a style, just like my nickname, I have a certain level of artistry to my fighting, a certain level of sophistication that I want to introduce to MMA that I feel like many people do not have, maybe a depth of well-rounded mixed martial arts, because I'm good everywhere. Striking, grappling, wrestling, orthodox, southpaw, elbows, knees, I can do it all. And I'm a pretty good athlete on top of all that. So you can expect a well-rounded, you know, another Hurricane performance come September 7th.
So excited. Hurricane, who do you want to thank? The floor is yours. Anybody, this is your time.
I want to thank Gilbert Melendez and Carrie Melendez. They really back me up in my gym. They really take care of me and make sure that I get to fight night 100%. And that's whether it's backing me up or making sure I have the partners to be 100% on that day. So I really want to thank them, thank my sponsors, you know, Rafi's Jewelry, you know, Diamond Cup MMA, because who else here? I can't think of all of them right now. So he's boxing, because my boxing coach, I really got to thank him. Escobar also, another boxing coach. I really want to thank also my main trainer, Daniel Kim. He works with me every day and lifts me up every day to make sure I'm 100% right there.
And where can everybody find you on social media?
You can follow me at Hurricane_415. Again, at Hurricane_415.
Awesome. And thank you so much for taking the time again, Haider. I look forward to seeing your fight September 7th. And you know what? Maybe we could do a post-fight interview.
That would be amazing. Thanks so much, Kerry. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thanks.